Also, when you come forward to testify, you have to state your name, and you'll be given 3 minutes. The timer clock will beep and warn you when you have 30 seconds left, and then it'll beep loudly when your time is up. We have an elected official in the House.
Here's one for
Randy. Okay, great. Okay, great. There you are. Oh, great.
I think she'd probably be a good addition.
Yeah, excellent.
In terms of invited us.
Okay, great. All right, good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, August 29th, and Portland City Council is called to order. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Adams?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman? Sten?
Here.
Potter?
Great. We have no communications this morning. We have no consent agenda item. We have 19 regular items on the calendar. And if it's okay with the City Council, I'd like to extend courtesies to, we have two elected officials here, and if they want, one is Labor Commissioner Dan Gardner and Senator Brad Avakian. If you want to come forward, and did you want to testify, Senator? Okay.
Cool.
Welcome.
Good morning. Morning. Thank you.
Glad you're here.
For the record, my name is Dan Gardner, Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries, and I'm here this morning to testify on the sweat-free workplace ordinance. And I just want to thank Deborah Schmitz and the Sweat-Free Coalition for inviting me here today, and thank the City Council for listening to my testimony. And a rumor has it in the hallway that it's Commissioner Leonard's birthday, and I wanted to wish him a happy birthday. I understand, is it your 60th?
38.
38th
just,
again.
Just checking. Anyway.
We should take a vote on that.
You swore to tell the truth, the whole truth.
And we should always tell him to turn his collar down on his birthday. There.
Yeah. Oh,
anyway.
It's the happens? Don Johnson look from the 80s. He was in his mid-30s.
Careful, I remember that series.
Yeah.
Anyway. As labor commissioner and an electrician, I'm always proud to stand in support of workers' rights. And the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries was founded over 100 years ago. In his 1903 inaugural address, Governor George Chamberlain called for the creation of the Bureau of Labor to study conditions in Oregon's factories. Our first missive was to cause to be enforced all laws regarding employment of children, minor, and women operating in workshops, factories, mills, and other places, and all laws enacted to protect for protection of the working class. In those days, the Bureau dealt with ensuring workers had access to proper sanitation, ventilation, and lighting. We worked on creating safe, clean workplaces that paid fair wages and set limits on the working day. Now here we are 100 years later and still trying to bring safety and fairness to Oregon workers. But now it's time to take the next step. We must not allow public monies to go into the pockets of businesses who do not comply with the basic standards of health, safety, wages, and hour laws. This is more than a strong symbolic statement. It's a legitimate issue of economic justice for all Oregonians, and it's a way to change how these companies do business. And more municipalities and states that get involved, the larger the impact that we have and the faster this will change. Unfortunately, many U.S. corporations continue to use sweatshops despite these horrible human rights violations because it results in cheaper labor and thus bigger profits. But there is more business, there is more to business rather than the bottom line. The means absolutely do not justify the ends, and all of us here know that sweatshops are just bad business. That's why I'm proud to be here today, not only to praise the hard work and efforts of the Sweat Free Coalition, the Northwest Oregon Labor Councils, and the unions, and the importance of this issue, but to strongly urge you, the Portland City Council, to adopt a sweat-free government purchasing ordinance. Nationally, sweat-free groups have asked local government representatives to end taxpayer subsidies of sweatshop contractors and subcontractors. Already, the cities of San Francisco and Los Angeles have adopted sweat-free ordinances with living wages and a budget of $100,000 each for staffing and independent monitoring to ensure the good intentions are translated into good results. As a place that has always been on the cutting edge of social justice issues, it is just makes sense that the City of Portland seriously consider how and where we spend our funds. We should set an example for our neighboring cities and states that we won't let our taxpayer dollars go into the pockets of these corporations who force their employees to work in unimaginable conditions. Therefore, today I ask the City Council to take the important first step to bring the underprivileged country's dignity, a decent wage, and a chance to organize against oppression. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank you for coming before the City Council. I think you're the statewide official that has been willing to appear before us more than any others. So thank you for that, and also thank you for the excellent work that you do as the state's labor commissioner.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Senator, good to see you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Very pleased to be here. Brad Avakian, State Senator, Northwest Portland, and here to testify on also the sweat shop-free ordinance. And very pleased to see this up today, especially right before the Labor Day weekend. As you know, there are some legislators who have contemplated similar statewide law, but the City of Portland taking the lead is a very nice thing to see. No city, no state is ever without its trials regarding equal rights, but one of the great legacies of Portland and of this state is that when it comes to the rights of its individuals and the best lifestyles of its individuals, the City of Portland always rises to the occasion. And so I am very, very pleased to see you bringing this ordinance forward today. The commissioner mentioned the importance of economic justice, which this ordinance brings, and I would echo that. But it brings something even more in addition to that, and that's one of human rights. This sets a standard not only for the City of Portland and will for the state of Oregon, but it also sends a very clear message to anybody wanting to do business with us that we have certain expectations regarding the rights of humans. And for that reason in particular, I strongly urge you to pass the ordinance and am fully supportive of all your efforts. Thank you.
Thanks, Senator. And for those of you that might not know it as well as Senator Avakian is, been a leader on many issues, but I wanted to take this public opportunity to especially underscore, thanks for being here today, but also underscore your work in the area of environmental justice. You've been a tireless advocate. You've paid attention to this issue, not only for the City of Portland, the Portland region, but the whole state. Thank you.
So if I could say just a couple things, Dan and I have actually had the opportunity to serve together in the legislature, and what he's saying here today is absolutely consistent with his entire career as an adult fighting for working class people. Brad and I never had the opportunity to work together, but Brad chaired the committee last session that our biofuels ordinance went through, in which the oil industry tried everything possible to have Portland's ordinance repealed, and Brad was a wall and stood up for Portlanders. And I was, having never worked with you before, frankly, I didn't know what to expect. I was so impressed with your work and your commitment to doing the right thing. It's very much appreciated by me. And I was looking forward to having an opportunity to tell Portlanders what a great state senator you've been on our behalf, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's very nice of you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And the best you get from us is a happy birthday, but that's good,
that's
too.
Fine. That's good.
Unless there's objection from my colleagues, Carla, I'd like to move agenda item 1026 to be heard next, which is the sweat-free procurement policy. So we've got a lot of people in the audience. We don't waste their time. If you wouldn't mind reading 1026.
Sure. 1026, create the City of Portland sweatshop-free procurement policy for uniforms and clothing purchases to be fully implemented in 2008.
All right. Council, it's my honor to bring forward this resolution. This resolution sets in motion a process to create the City of Portland sweatshop-free procurement policy for uniform and clothing purchases to be fully implemented in the months to come. As a first step, I will nominate a committee with your approval to serve and to designate as designated to create the actual policy and the code of conduct for the city on this issue. My staff will submit the funding request during the fall 2007 bump to support our involvement in the state and local sweatshop-free consortium. This resolution does not implement a sweat-free purchasing policy and does not extend beyond apparel at this time. This resolution, we set out to do two things. One, to help support the launch of the national effort that joins state and local governments together to end state and local governments' procurement of sweatshop workplace garments. And we begin the process to create this policy for Portland. We are benefited by the fact that a number of cities have gone before us, and we are able to learn from their successes and their challenges. And in both these efforts, our goal is to act on our values as a community and to lead by example as a government. On the national effort, in March 2007, Sweat-Free Communities convened a historic meeting of human rights activists and public officials who agreed to form the state and local government Sweat-Free Consortium. The consortium will pool resources to investigate and to monitor supplier factories, work with suppliers to coordinate and implement codes of conduct, and verify compliance with the codes of conduct. This resolution calls the City of Portland to join the consortium as a provisionary founding member when the consortium represents a critical level of purchasing power, which is to happen within a year, we've been told. The Sweat-Free Consortium will be able to take action on our behalf. With this resolution, we will join the states of Maine, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, and the cities of San Francisco, Los Angeles, Madison, and Providence in this effort. Our commitment today is intended to send a clear message that we support this national effort and intend to be a part of the founding government bodies. Our financial commitment up front makes it clear to our partners and underscores our commitment to the consortium's success. And making it work here in Portland, while we are helping to get the national consortium off the ground, we will take this opportunity to find a policy that will work for the City of Portland and our uniform and purchasing apparel purchasing. We will ask our suppliers to disclose information about the name and location of their factories so that we can contribute this information to the consortium. And a diverse committee made up of advocates, uniform wearers, experts, and apparel experts will create a policy and code of conduct that conforms to the spirit of this resolution and works in practice. Given the experience of other jurisdictions, we know that making this policy operational is a crucial step towards real progress. Our goal with this resolution is to act on our community values, and I ask the City Council for your consideration. I want to thank up front a number of individuals and organizations locally, especially the Global Exchange, the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign, Portland Jobs with Justice, Portland Central America Solidarity Committee, public sector unions such as the Laborers and AFSCME, the Portland Firefighters Union, the Portland Police Union, Ainsworth United Church of Christ, Foundation Garments Incorporated, and the National Workers' Rights Consortium and Sweat-Free Communities Organizations. In addition to Senator Vakian and Commissioner Gardner, I want to thank Deborah Schwartz, Portland Sweat-Free Campaign Coordinator, for her tireless efforts in working with us. Thank you. If we could clap, you deserve a big round of applause. Jeff Baer and Christine Moody from the Bureau of Purchasing for working with us on this. Jim Van Dyke and the City Attorney's Office. I'd love a very special thank you to my staff as well, Terry Richardson and Kimberly Schneider. And speaking of Kimberly Schneider, I'll ask you to give an overview of the resolution.
Sure. Good morning. My name is Kimberly Schneider, and I'm being joined by Terry Richardson in spirit, who's not here for health reasons, but has been really seeing this over the last year. So I just want to give a brief overview, talk about the amendment, and then talk about the committee nomination process. And then we'd be happy to take your questions. And I've asked Jeff Baer, Director of Purchasing, to join me in responding to the questions. So as Commissioner Adams said, this represents two concurrent steps. First of all, we'll be appointing a 9-person committee within the next month, made up of diverse stakeholders, including public employees who wear uniforms, advocates, supply experts, city purchasing director. It'll be appointed and facilitated by the Commissioner of Public Utilities, and their goal will be to create a code of conduct and a policy before September of 2008. Once the codes are adopted, the policy committee will be disbanded to be so that there will be an oversight committee that will meet and report to council annually on the process. In terms of supporting the national consortium, we will be joining the consortium and contributing 1% of the cost in uniforms and clothing that we purchase, which is what the consortium is asking of its local jurisdictions who've joined it. And that'll be an ongoing membership fee. And finally, in terms of the amendment, following the financial planning's recommendation, the resolution will direct our office to prepare the resolution will direct our office to prepare a budget amendment for the fall bump. This establishes council's policy and intention to make these payments at the time and gives financial planning clear direction to recommend the approval. As such, in the second be it further resolved, the amendment replaces the second sentence, which is upon passage of an ordinance, with the Commissioner of Public Utilities will bring forward actions in the fall 2007 budget monitoring process necessary to pay the sum of $20,000 to Sweat Free Communities, Inc., to support the formation of the consortium.
Thank you. Jeff. Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, I'm Jeff Baer. I'm the Director of Procurement with the Bureau of Purchases, and I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to discuss the proposed resolution to create a sweat-free procurement policy. And I really do applaud the efforts of the sweat-free communities. And although we've probably differed in our approach, I think we are really on the same page in regard to our intent to work with uniform suppliers who do have a satisfactory record of performance and integrity. And we certainly do not want to be doing business with companies who utilize sweatshop labor. And in that regard, I actually have done a fair amount of research in to find out how other public agencies are approaching this subject, and one of which I recently attended the San Francisco Sweat-Free Procurement Advisory Committee. And in fact, I think I saw Valerie Orth, who chairs that committee, in the audience this morning. And it was very helpful to understand some of the challenges that they have undergone over the past 2 years. And with that, I've also engaged on the national level, teleconferenced in with representatives from the City of Austin, City of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, State of Maine, and also San Francisco and State of California. And for me, I guess what I'm really looking for is this policy committee. I think we really need to have strong representation from suppliers to really bring them into the discussion and engage them in a dialogue to help us create a policy that really works. And we can also learn from the folks who have actually gone down this road and create a policy that is solid in the end. And so regardless of where we end up, I think it's my intent to stay engaged nationally. I think it's in line with some of our other national discussions we've had on our sustainable procurement issues. So with that, I'll just stop. And if you have any questions, I'm sure there'll be a lot of testimony coming after this too.
Any questions for this panel? Thank you very much. We have four individuals for invited testimony, Deborah Schwartz, Carol Stalky, Chi Abad, and Valerie Orth. We need one more chair there.
Good Commissioner, did you want to have somebody move your amendment while you're getting the testimony going?
Very.
So moved.
What's the amendment? Or the highlight? Yeah.
Let me just come back through the bump. All right, it's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you call the roll on the amendment to 1026?
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Stinn?
Aye.
Well, it's been a long road. Congratulations so far. Thank you, Deborah, for being here. Go ahead.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. My name is Deborah Schwartz, and I'm the coordinator of the Portland Sweat Free Campaign with Global Exchange. Again, thank you, Commissioner Adams, for bringing the important issue of sweatshop abuses before City Council for a resolution and vote. I would also like to thank Commissioner Leonard, Commissioner Stinn, Commissioner Saltzman, and Mayor Potter. Finally, I would like to thank the 45-plus labor, faith, community, political, student, and business organizations who have endorsed the campaign for the City of Portland to pass a sweat-free policy that includes a code of conduct that protects workers' rights, funding for independent monitoring, and a policy and oversight committees free from conflict of interest. Specifically, I want to address three key points included in the proposed resolution. First, the proposed resolution calls for disclosure of suppliers' factory names and locations. When companies do make factory names and locations publicly available, workers can register complaints, and independent monitoring organizations can investigate conditions, report problems, and work together to help correct violations. I applaud the City of Portland for taking this important first step. Numerous colleges in several cities have made this essential information public. Second, this resolution and accompanying ordinance will support the formation of the state and local government sweat-free consortium, as Commissioner Adams has mentioned, which will collaborate with other public agencies to share information and cost of monitoring suppliers. No single state or local government has adequate resources to monitor and verify working conditions and enforce sweat-free standards at supplier factories beyond their immediate jurisdiction. But because there is a large number of public entities committed to sweat-free procurement, it is now possible to pool resources and ensure code of conduct compliance. This is a really important step to make sure that the City of Portland continues to be a leader in sustainability and worker-friendly initiatives. Thank you. Finally, the resolution sets up a policy and oversight committees to create the final ordinance and make sure that it is properly implemented. Well, we applaud the City of Portland for taking steps to make sure that this policy is extremely enforceable. On behalf of the coalition and members of the campaign, I believe I would like to point out that it would provide a potential conflict of financial interest to allow suppliers to create the very policy that would let them qualify for city contracts. We believe that it is also unfair business practices to allow suppliers to oversee and review their own eligibility for those same contracts. I believe we can work together to create a diverse committee in the best interests of sweatshop workers in the City of Portland, and I look forward to creating a committee with the utmost integrity. So today we ask the City of Portland to pass a sweat-free procurement resolution to make sure our city does not purchase goods from sweatshops to deny people their legal rights and dignity. More than 170 different cities, states, counties, school districts, and high schools nationwide have passed sweat-free procurement policies. The City of Portland, which is a leader in sustainable and worker-friendly initiatives, which include the sustainability principles passed in 1994, the living wage and right to organize resolutions, can join with cities and states nationwide and work here locally to create a policy that can truly be implemented and be very effective for the dignity of all workers. This resolution is an important first step to address sweatshop conditions. I thank you, Commissioner Adams, for your tireless work on this important issue. Thank you.
And one thing to just so that everybody knows up front, on the issue of city suppliers being on the committee, they will not be on the committee. There has been, for those of you in the room, part of the length of the discussion bringing this forward is that the discussion of how to include the expertise of suppliers without giving them the role of voting on the policy. And I think we've had a really good discussion that they will not be on the committee that votes on the creation of the policy, but they will be brought in as often as needed to make sure that the committee has their point of view. But the voting on the policy will, the committee that votes on the policy that comes before the City Council will not include anyone with a conflict of interest, such as a city supplier, current or future city supplier.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams.
Carol, welcome.
Good morning. Hello. My name is Carol Stelke. I'm the president of AFSCME Local 189. I represent the public employees throughout all the bureaus in the city of Portland. I would like to thank you for bringing this. I think this is a historic day for the city of Portland. It goes in line with everything that we've already done here. It's a huge step in making sure that the taxpayers aren't paying for inhumane working conditions or poverty wages. We're always talking about our living wages, the living wage ordinance for working families, and how everyone deserves health benefits. It's our opportunity to walk our talk. There's going to be a lot of changes in the next year. There's going to be a lot of changes in our global economy in the next year, couple years. I think that the more that we raise the bar now and fight the sweatshop labor, then in the future, as more cities and counties and states come on board and pass the sweat-free resolution, then it'll become evident that we don't need sweatshops. With the incentives to perform in a living wage that will result in better goods and services, improved productivity, and healthy employees with dignity. I know that we can get there together. The City of Portland, we've done a lot together so far. Working together on this policy committee will be important. I'm looking forward to working on it. Hopefully I can. I think that it'll be important to have industry experts there. I would like to ask that the nomination process be in the City Council forum or some sort of public forum.
It comes possible. I'll be nominating. I think Kimberly, who testified, just to clarify, I'll be nominating, but the City Council will approve.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll be nominating who would be on it, but the City Council actually create and approve the nominations.
Perfect. Then I'm in support of the sweat-free resolution, obviously. I'd ask for your support of the sweat-free resolution and also your support of the committee creating the policy into the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for all the good work you do in partnership with us, not just on this, but all kinds of issues.
It really
takes a whole village to keep city government running.
It does.
Especially our workforce.
Thank you, Sam.
good morning. Commissioners, thanks for being here. My name is Chi Abad, and I work for Global Exchange, which is an international nonprofit international human rights organization based in San Francisco. But before joining Global Exchange 8 years ago, I used to work as a garment worker at Saco Corporation for 6 years in Saipan, Commonwealth of Northern Marianas Island. I used to work in Saipan they used the label Made in the USA. So I am an example of an individual who can prove that the accounts of sweatshop labor are not just allegations, but they were true accounts of the actual horrible and living condition when I was there working for 6 years. Saipan is a U.S. territory in the South Pacific. So while working there, I experienced working 14 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, especially during the peak of the production from May till October. So inside the factory, we have no ventilation at all. We drink rainwater. We have a quota system that we need to finish every hour. I also used to live in a squalid, unsanitary, overcrowded barracks with bunk beds only, which has a tin walls, and concrete floors. And most of all, women are fired if they got pregnant. So on January 13 of 1999, three separate lawsuits were filed in behalf of my co-garment workers in Saipan, who works under the sweatshop condition in the factories that sued clothing for U.S. major clothing retailers. So I played an instrumental role in forcing 26 major clothing retailers, such as The Gap, Tommy Hilfiger, Polo, name it, Liz Claiborne, Calvin Klein, and everything, in which they settled the lawsuit in September of 2002, getting $20 million to pay back workers' back wages and to create an independent monitoring to prevent future labor abuses. So one of the campaigns of Global Exchange is to pass ordinance or resolution to make government purchases sweat-free. And to put this buying power to work for workers like me, we need to pass a resolution here in Portland, in the city of Portland, to ensure that our tax dollars are not supporting a sweatshop. Such resolution includes the supplier's full public disclosure of the factories, funding for independent monitoring, and creation of a policy and oversight committees, including advocates. It is crucial that neither of this committee have representative from garment industry because it is a conflict of interest. So workers like me, whose human and labor rights are violated by sweatshops, deserves a policy free from the industry influence. So city council members, please pass this resolution because this will help workers because we will create a demand or market for sweat-free garments and therefore which will lead more to no-sweat factories and therefore give workers more opportunities to work under the dignified labor condition. Thank you.
Thank you very much for, you're not allowed to clap, so you wave your hands. That's right, you came late. Jazz hands, if you like. Talk a little bit more, if you would, about the prevalence of sweatshop in the territory of the United States. I don't think most people would know that garments made in where you were working get labeled made in the USA. And I don't think that, so I don't think the public knows that there are sweatshops that make items that say made in the USA. Could you talk a little bit more about how common that is?
Well, in Saipan, in which this is a U.S. territory in the South Pacific, the U.S. government allowed them to use the made in the USA label, like tariffs free if they, what you call this, export the good from Saipan to the United States. And they are also allowed to hire foreign or guest workers to do those jobs and stuff like that. So now to prevent, like Puerto Rico, Saipan, what else? The federal states of Micronesia, the Fiji Island.
They yes, all get to say made in the USA.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Ellery? Portland.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to speak. My name is Valerie Orth. I'm the chair of the San Francisco Sweat-Free Procurement Advisory Group. I came here today to applaud Commissioner Adams and the City of Portland for taking a stand against sweatshops and encourage steps to create and implement a strong policy. Chi Abad's personal story alone underlines the importance of ending tax dollar subsidies to sweatshops. We have learned much from the implementation and enforcement process in San Francisco. Just to let you know, the ordinance was passed in September 2005 as the nation's strongest anti-sweatshop ordinance so far. I believe, as Commissioner Adams has stated, that the City of Portland can learn from our process as well. It is true that currently none of the contractors that supply the City of San Francisco comply 100% with our sweat-free ordinance. This should not come as a surprise because sweatshops in the garment industry are the norm, not the exception. And the ordinance prohibits the City of San Francisco from purchasing goods made in sweatshops. The strategy then is to work with the contractors to disclose necessary specifics, such as factory locations, so the city can improve the working conditions in the factories where it actually has purchasing power. No city on its own, however, has enough market presence and resources to ensure that vendors and companies further down the supply chain make the changes required for code compliance. And Portland is solving this problem as stated in the resolution that will hopefully be passed today. Portland solving this problem by delaying code implementation until 2008 when the state and local government sweat-free consortium is operational. The consortium will create enough purchasing power to effectively implement the procurement policies and improve working conditions on a greater scale. Thank you for your work in making sure tax dollars are not used to subsidize sweatshops, and I look forward to the success of Portland's sweat-free law.
Thank you. I have a question based on your work on this issue. And we get the national consortium off the ground, mm-hmm. is when we get to $100 million sort of worth of national textile garment buying power, in your opinion, is that big enough to sort of get the attention of the industry and the suppliers to start making the changes in their procurement and manufacturing policies?
Yes, I think for sure that will be enough purchasing power. One important thing that I believe the national consortium is working to create is a list of factories that will be, you know, that we can, all the cities and states can consolidate their purchasing power. And that way, with a handful of factories as opposed to hundreds and thousands of factories that we are kind of dispersed at this point, we can keep a closer watch on what's actually going on in the factories and support worker struggles and improve working conditions there.
We really appreciate you traveling from the Bay Area to be with us today, and thanks for all your early work on this issue.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you all. All right, we're now going to take public testimony based on if you signed in, then you'll be called. If you did not sign in, then you will not be called, and we just call the testimony in the order in which people signed in. Carla.
We have 13 people signed up. The first three are, is there a Reverend, Representative Brad Witt still here? Sorry.
He's up, he's coming down.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know he was here.
Yeah.
And Reverend Lynn Lopez and James Hester are our first three. They'll be followed by Jennifer Sargent, Heidi Carlson, and Bill Mixtum.
I just want to state for the record that this is one of the few leaders of faith who have actually dunked me in a dunk tank. she has a fierce right-hand pitch.
Well, thank you.
Did it feel good?
I'm really left-handed, but I throw right-handed.
It was all a blur to me.
It was great. It was baptism again.
Yes, it was.
And I've never done an immersion before.
Did the water begin? Did the water begin boiling when?
Actually, it was pretty tepid.
Was it?
Glad you're here, Reverend.
Thank you. I'm Lynn Smouse-Lopez, and I thank you for the opportunity to be here and to speak and for you to take this step in justice for our city. As a former pastor of a church in South Central Los Angeles, I can tell you that sweatshops were very much a reality there as they are here and around the country. I pastored some people who worked in sweatshops and also did piecemeal work at home. Piecework, and that amounted to the same, poor and unsafe working conditions, unethical treatment, and below standard subsistence wages is what they earned. As pastor of Ainsworth United Church of Christ in Northeast Portland, we are multiracial, multicultural, open, and affirming church, and we are a just peace congregation, and we took a stand to support the sweat-free ordinance in Portland. We continue to be involved and concerned about workers' rights and workers' justice. And because of our faith tradition and because of the commitment of our denomination, the United Church of Christ, which has always been a denomination to stand for worker and economic justice as well as racial and other kinds of justice, we've decided to stand and speak up and be very much involved in this movement. As disciples of Christ in our faith, we believe that we are called to stand, and we follow Jesus, who stood for the poor, the abused, the vulnerable, and the marginalized. So it's an issue of faith for us as well as moral and ethical behavior and state of mind. The people in our state, in our country, and around the world are suffering as they toil in unsafe working conditions, earning less than what they need to live and survive. Just so we can have a bargain, so we can buy something for less. And I, as much as anyone with two kids, teenagers, love bargains. I really do, but I can no longer be silent when the bargain means others must suffer. We don't want our tax dollars to pay for this suffering. We want to don't want our tax dollars to support sweatshops, and we call upon you to pass this resolution. We also call upon you, and I'm glad you clarified it, that nobody on the policymaking committee or the policy implementation committee be a supplier that could potentially supply for Portland. But we do understand and know the need for their input in the process so that they can present and they can share their perspective. But certainly they should not have the decision to vote on that. So we thank you for that. We know that there are a lot of important issues in our city to deal with, and this is definitely one that affects far more people than I think any of us can imagine. I call upon you to go forward with this and help us to make this piece of economic justice a reality. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative, it's an honor to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Commissioners. Brad Witt, United Food and Commercial Workers, Local 555, representing nearly 6,000 retail and healthcare workers who live or work in the city of Portland. Appearing today in support of the sweatshop free resolution ordinance and oversight committee, and would like to express our gratitude for the commission's attempts to eliminate conflict of interest in the implementation of that oversight function. Our sector of the retail garment industry is characterized by very low profit margins. Meanwhile, our members in that industry receive union wages plus a full complement of benefits, which includes medical insurance, and that coverage includes all family members at no additional cost to the employee, as well as a defined benefit, the old-fashioned good kind of a pension plan. When our good union employers are put into a position of having to compete against sweatshop conditions, and again, I emphasize the low margin that our retail garment employers face, this threatens to topple this entire wage and benefit package. And this, I suggest to you, represents the underpinnings of middle-class America. This is yet another threat to the survival of the middle class in this country. That is why your resolution is so important. That is why your work that you're doing here today is so important. Aside from this downward spiral, even worse are the sweatshop conditions themselves that some non-union workers in the retail garment industry face. Regular violations of EEOC provisions, particularly with regard to equal pay for women workers. Rampant violations of wage and hour provisions, particularly overtime that is not paid, lunch breaks that are not provided, and child labor that is regularly abused. The same is true for environmental regulations, as well as a blatant disregard for our national policy of the right of workers to organize and bargain collectively. In addition, there are a number of employers who fail to provide and to pay their fair share for health insurance costs, both of their employees as well as for the rest of us in today's society. One employer alone is estimated, because of their failure to provide health insurance for their employees, to shift costs in the neighborhood of $2.5 billion to taxpayers. Commissioners, this is an exceedingly important move on your part. I commend your efforts. I commend your interest in America's workers, the workers, the working class in your city, and I thank you for taking this up. With that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them.
Well, I just thank you for being here and for your testimony, but I also wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for your service in the legislature. You've been part of the thin edge of the wedge in the discussions down there on how to bring greater worker protection, worker justice in the state legislature. And congratulations on being part of just a superb, superb legislative session. Good job.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Adams, Leonard Stinn, and Commissioner Saltzman and Mayor Potter, wherever you are, thank you for having us here today. I duly appreciate your hearing this testimony today and taking up this issue. I am incredibly grateful to be here today with sisters and brothers in the labor movement, in the workers' right movement, in the social justice movement to speak on this issue and to join with them. And it's a great day in Portland, I believe, because in the city of Portland, in Oregon, we always seem to be on the cutting edge of moving things forward. And I think this is simply one more wave. And as Thomas Jefferson said, that the boisterous waves of liberty sometimes create a storm. Yeah, but at the end, other side of that storm is calm because you reach your destination. In any event, the issue before council today is it's a labor issue, it's a worker issue, but it's also a moral and it's also a faith issue. Sweatshops exist in our midst and are harmful to the very moral fabric of our society, I believe. A morality that calls in America, in Oregon, in Portland, for fairness and equality for all, no matter where that person may live, whether it's in downtown Portland or whether it's in downtown Los Angeles or San Francisco or New York or in Saipan, everybody should be treated equally. Allowing business operations such as sweatshops, to exist anywhere in the world is simply mandating a form of slavery throughout the world. We have an opportunity here today to make a difference in that, in movement to set people free, to allow people to be treated fairly and equally. There's two, as I was looking at this issue, and I'll try and make it brief, I may have to cut it to one, but I'd like to remind us all of two examples. In March of 2006 in New York State, the legislature and union leaders gathered to commemorate the 95th anniversary of the Triangle Shirtwaist Company fire, which led to the death of 146 garment workers. That event occurred on March 25th, 1911. As fire swept through that factory, trapping workers on the top of the top three floors of a factory, the exits were blocked and the fire escapes were defective. The tragic death of these 146 people, mostly, if not all, young women, garment workers, all teenage girls, and young, led to the first serious safety laws throughout the country. And then I also want to remind people that, and I'm reminded of this because of our sister from Saipan that spoke, that it exists today in India and countries throughout the world, but I want to speak specifically in India, the carpet kids of India who sit there, who are indentured and live in slavery, live as slaves, sometimes for generations. We have to take action. This is a little way of impacting that type of behavior. And I think I'll just close with that. I think history lessons is good enough, but I think this is just such an important day for the city of Portland, for all of us to work so hard for these justices throughout the world and to remind us of those people who sometimes have given their lives so we may all have a better life. So.
Thanks, James. I appreciate that, reminding us that this really is, for many people, a life and death issue, and the history of it, I think, is really important. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next three are Jennifer Sargent, Heidi Carlson, and Bill Michtam. They'll be followed by Dana Welty, Mary Mendez, and Arthur Stamoulis.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here. Please state your name, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Jennifer Sargent. I work at the Oregon AFL-CIO, and I'm reading the testimony of our president, Tom Chamberlain. Oregon voters statewide have twice reinforced their belief in fair wages for a hard day's work. In 1996 and again in 2004, Oregon voters overwhelmingly voted to raise the minimum wage to among the highest in our nation. In Multnomah County, the results were even higher. Clearly, fair pay for a hard day's work is an Oregon value. Why, then, are our taxpayer dollars spent to effectively hire workers who toil for pennies an hour and in conditions that we would never tolerate here at home? Is it okay because they live somewhere else? Is it okay because we can't see them? The fact is that we should not be funding the expansion of sweatshops anywhere. The exploitation of workers simply because they live outside our state's borders is a violation of a widely held and twice affirmed Oregon principle of worker fairness. I commend Commissioners Adams, Leonard, Saltzman, Sten, and Mayor Potter for taking up this very important issue today. Growing up in Portland, I, Tom Chamberlain, thought that sweatshops were a relic of the past, an archaic way of doing business that gave our country the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire, which you heard about earlier, just a few minutes ago. That fire was a terrible event that taught us a painful lesson that we shouldn't relearn. No worker should be put in danger because of greed. The grief and anger that followed that event gave our nation's union movement a massive shot in the arm, and worker safety laws were adopted, strengthened, and enforced. Since that time, our workplaces the safety has improved immensely, and with some notable exceptions, our workplaces are safer than ever, but only when they're on our shores. Cross an ocean or visit certain American cities and you get a different story. And I know you've heard several stories of that already today, so I won't reiterate. But while many of us struggle with our monthly bills, few of us literally fear for the survival of our families. But that's because we're here in Oregon and the rules are different here. I'm skipping some redundant testimony from what you've already heard. I'm proud to be here today before you representing 135,000 working men and women of the Oregon AFL-CIO. We are steelworkers, K-12 support staff in every county, teachers, electricians, and much more. By joining together and bargaining for better wages and benefits, we earn higher wages, health care, and retirement benefits, and better safety than we would alone. We commend the Portland City Commissioners for hearing us today. I hope you'll support the Portland Sweat-Free Procurement Resolution. Portland is the perfect city to stand up to this worldwide injustice. In closing, I'd like to say that I stand here today in solidarity with the other endorsers of the Portland Sweat-Free Coalition, including several unions, several AFSCME locals, the musicians, carpenters, communication workers, machinists, longshore workers, elevator constructors, laborers, letter carriers, Northwest Oregon Labor Council, firefighters, food and commercial workers, and hotel and restaurant employees. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Good afternoon. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Heidi Carlson, and I am president of Foundation Garments, a clothing boutique on Northeast Alberta Street. We are in business first and foremost to make money. However, we are not willing to do that at the expense of the quality of life of other people. Does that decision make running our business easier? Absolutely not. First off, our prices are higher than other boutiques on the same street and certainly shops at the mall. Purchasing is also harder. There are things people have repeatedly asked me for that I have just not been able to find a sweatshop-free source for yet. And when I do find a vendor, I can't afford to personally go and visit the factory and verify that what they tell me about their labor practices are true. There's no way for me to Google the name of the factory and no independent source for this information. And so I have to rely on trust. And when I'm not sure, then I don't buy from that company and lose the opportunity to expand my lines. And even though I ask as many questions as I can before working with a new company, when the shipments arrive, sometimes we discover that some of the items weren't made where or how they told me, and I have to send them back, which then messes up my whole season. So why do I go through this effort? It should go without saying, but it's the right thing to do. I couldn't sleep at night knowing that I made money off of someone else's suffering. I remember reading an article that got to me on Salon.com about one particular sweatshop and how workers were fined for yawning, for going to the bathroom, for basic human functions. For many of these people who weren't making more than $7 to $8 a day, the $12 fines kept them constantly in debt to the factory. I do it because it helps bring this problem into the light. It's often out of sight, out of mind. I've had some sales reps from Los Angeles and other cities that were taken aback when I asked them about their labor practices of their lines, like it had never crossed their minds that they might be involved in sweatshop labor. I also do it because it makes things easier for other people, my customers, who want to do things right, and because every bit of demand I create helps level the playing field between the many extremely talented local designers I work with who are also facing many of the challenges I am because of their unwillingness to use sweatshop labor to keep costs down. Why should the city of Portland do it? Portland is viewed by the whole country, if not the world, as a progressive city on the environment, transportation, and city planning, and we need to be progressive on this issue as well. If the city adopts this ordinance, it's going to have far more impact than my little boutique in lasting change. At first, purchasing may be more difficult, like mine. Part of why it's difficult is a chicken and egg problem. The suppliers won't exist until the demand exists, and the demand won't exist until the suppliers do. Something needs to happen to break the cycle. Most of all, the city budget is the taxpayers' money. The ones that know about this issue, many of whom are my customers, don't want it spent that way. And the ones that don't know about the issue are the ones who really need this city to show its leadership the most by passing this ordinance. Thank you.
So what's the name of your shop?
Foundation Garments.
And what's the address?
It's 2712 Northeast Alberta Street.
So 2712 Northeast Alberta Street. Mm-hmm. And what are the hours of operation?
We're open every day from 11 to 7, and then actually on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we're open until 9 p.m.
So is 2712 27th in Alberta?
27th in Alberta. And we have men's and women's clothing.
Yeah, tell us more about the kind of products that you sell. We can ask any questions we want.
All right, awesome. Well, we do have kind of a modern edge to our clothing style.
Like what I wear, the kind of stuff.
Exactly, yeah. Very modern. And I carry a lot of local designers. A lot of the lines that I carry are actually handmade by the designers themselves because it's really one of the only ways I can assure how it's made. Basically, we have like men's bike knickers since Portland's a big biking town. So we have.
Yeah, I could use some of those.
Yeah, they got big pockets in the back to put your U lock in. They're pretty awesome. So.
What are your number one selling items for men and for women?
For men, I sell some handmade belts and wallets from a group of artists in Oklahoma City. And for women, I'd have to say it's this handmade underwear, bras, and panties from a woman in Ashland, North Carolina.
And that's the first time those two words have been said in Portland. 27th in Alberta, the name of the store again?
Foundation Garments. And we also have a website, www.foundationgarmentsinc.com.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks.
And for being a good sport.
Hi, I'm Bill Mickdom. I had a much longer statement, but it sounds like that you have clarified or changed what I was concerned about, so I want to ask the question. Suppliers will have no authority to make policy, is that correct?
Correct.
And will they be full members of these committees that will be part of this process? Or will they be called in as, you know, like expert witnesses, and that would be that?
Called in as expert witnesses. It's really important to the Purchasing Bureau, who I've been facilitating the conversations with the advocates, that we get before the committee decides what the policy is, that they get the input of suppliers. But it will be simply the input. The suppliers will not be on the committee. They will not be making decisions. They will not be on the committee to make decisions.
Well, then I have just one thing, not to say, but to do.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate it. Carla, the next three.
Next three are Dana Welty, Mary Mendez, and Arthur Stamoulis. They'll be followed by Richard Beadle, I believe his last name, Martha Perez, and Roger Heldman.
Welcome to the Portland City Council.
Thank you.
So before we begin, I just want you to know I will not be testifying. I'm merely here as a translator assistant.
Oh, excellent. Great. Please start.
I'll start. My name is Dana Welty, and I'm a registered nurse, a member of Oregon Nurses Association, and I'm here this morning as co-chair of Jobs with Justice. And for anyone in the room who doesn't know, and I don't think there are many, Jobs with Justice is a coalition of 85 unions and community groups, and we come together to support workers and worker rights in this area. And our work is in four main areas: global justice, the right to organize and bargain, healthcare, and immigrant rights. I want to take this opportunity, since you're here in front of me, to thank all of you for being part of our